This is the beginning of part three, titled, How to Find and Decipher Code Words. The meat and potatoes of Ken's system is in finding your prospect's code words so that you can use them in the right sequence. And believe it or not, your prospects will tell you their code words if you ask them. They'll also tell you the order they go in. You just need to train yourself to listen for the answers. And in this audio, you'll hear exactly how to do that. Key concepts from this audio. How to get your prospects to tell you every last part of their buying strategy. How to get prospects to be as specific as possible when defining what each code word means to them. Pitfalls to avoid that will contaminate the process. The best part of this system is that Ken's questioning process actually makes prospects feel comfortable and at ease with the buying experience, like someone has finally come along who cares about what they're looking for. Now, let's get going. This is the beginning.
So let's just review for a second. What we're really trying to do here is find someone's buying strategy. The way that they unconsciously come to the decision to buy. The way we're going to do that is we're going to ask them about the last time they bought this thing. For example, if it was jewelry, we're going to ask them about a time when they bought jewelry. Or if it's about buying a car, we're going to ask them, how are they going to decide which car is going to be the perfect car for them? If it's going to be a house, we're going to ask them, how will you decide to buy the house you're going to buy? If it's a business consultation, we're going to ask them, how are you going to decide if this is going to really help you? Or how are you going to decide that this will be a really good purchase? Or how are you going to decide to buy this? And as soon as the person answers that question, they're giving us code words. They're giving us things. They're going to say things like, I want a car that's dependable. I want a car that's economical. And those words, dependable, economical, are code words. If we're talking about a house, they're going to say things like good neighborhood, or I want a house with potential, or I want good schools. And again, good neighborhood, potential, good schools, those are all what we call code words. We don't know exactly what the person means when they say those. So to start with, we're just going to write those words down. And we're going to need to write down the exact word that person used. When they say good neighborhood, I've often seen agents write something different down. When somebody says, I want something with potential, I've seen agents write down good investment property. That's where we come up with contamination. When somebody says, I want a big truck, the salesman says, they want a 1-ton or a 3/4-ton truck. Again, we don't know what big means. We don't know what good neighborhood means. We don't know what potential means. We're going to have to ask them. We just need to write down that particular word. If you haven't already, now would be a really good time just to be looking at that worksheet. And as you look at the worksheet, up in the top left-hand corner, you're going to see it says name. We're going to write the person's name there, whoever the client is. Across the very top of the sheet, you're going to see things like towards, away from, procedures options, internal, external, same, different, convincer, mode, and times. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, and I'm going to explain to you exactly what that means and why that's important. Right below that, you're going to see it says buying strategy, and it says how will you decide, how did you decide to buy blank? And then it's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you'll notice that right underneath that it says anything else. What happens when we ask somebody, how did you decide to buy that watch? They're going to say, oh, I liked the way it really looked. And we're going to write the way it really looked in number one, or just looked. That's the code word they've given us. Now, at this stage, they've only given us a part of the code. Kind of like that combination to a safe. They've only given us one of the numbers. We don't even know if it's the first number or the second number or the third number. We're going to have to keep asking here. And that's where this anything else comes in. So let's say I'm asking somebody about their watch buying strategy. And they say, ooh, how did you decide to buy it? And they say, oh, I like the way it really looked. And I would say, anything else? They might say, oh, you know, it was a really good price. Then I'll come back to them and go, okay, so you really liked the way it looked, and it was a really good price. Anything else? They might go, I liked the quality. And I'm going to keep doing this until they're going to go, no, that was it. Generally, depending upon the person and depending upon what it is they're buying, again, each one of these is real specific, generally we're going to find that there's about 3, 4, maybe 5 things that are going to be the key components to this strategy. And in order to get them all, we just keep asking, anything else? We just repeat what they've said, and then we ask, anything else? Sometimes at this point, as salespeople, or especially when you're learning this, a lot of people think, well, gee, isn't the person uncomfortable when we're asking them these questions? Doesn't it get to be intrusive when we're asking anything else, anything else, anything else? My experience with this is, and most of the salespeople that have really mastered this have said, no, it's not intrusive. In fact, the person really appreciates it when you ask them. What you're going to find is, as we go through this process too, that it's a phenomenal process for establishing rapport. When you ask people how they decide and what's important to them, people start to really feel like you understand them. They start to feel like you're really listening and that you really get it, and that you're the only salesman that's actually been paying attention to them and really knows what they're looking for. So rather than be intrusive, this actually becomes very elegant, and it becomes very rapport building, and you get really in sync with the person, and they really feel understood when you're asking them these questions. If you look at your worksheet, you'll also see on the worksheet that underneath the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's columns that are going down. And you'll see that off to the left of that it says details. As we're asking the person, let's say, for example, that we're asking them how they bought their last watch, and they say, I like the way it looked. Again, I don't want to contaminate. I don't know what looked really means. So, as you can see up to the left there, I'm going to say something like, can you tell me more about what looked means to you? And maybe they're going to say, oh, it was really elegant. So underneath looked, in that first column there, I'm going to write elegant. And then I'm going to ask the person, ultimately, what's important about it looking elegant to you? And they're going to give me an answer. So, you'll see off to the left there, it says, can you tell me more about what that means to you? And ultimately, what's important about that? That's how we actually fill the sheet down. As we go forward in this program, at the end, I'm going to give you several examples of me actually eliciting people's buy-in strategies. So you're really going to be able to listen to how it's done, and you're actually going to see the sheet filled in. It's relatively simple. It's relatively easy. I've literally done this hundreds and hundreds of times. Seems a lot more complicated than it is. It's actually pretty simple and pretty easy. Now, once I've gone across the top of the sheet there and I've asked them how they're going to decide to buy, and I fill in, like, for example, the watch, look, value, quality, then what I have to do, now I've got the numbers to the safe. What I have to do, though, is sometimes people don't give them to me in the right order. So now what I've got to do is actually ask the person, and I've got to put them in the right order. If the first one there is look, and the second one is value, then I've got to ask them, okay, which is more important to you, how it looks or the value? And they're going to tell me, ooh, value is more important. So I'm going to make that number one. And then I'm going to ask them, okay, which is more important, the value or the price? And they're going to tell me again, which one's more important? Asking them which is more important allows me to start to put these things in the correct order. I'll find out which one's number one, which one's number two, which one's number three. This is really important because, like I said in the beginning, it's not just the numbers of the combination to a safe, but it's the sequence, it's the order you put them in that matter. Once we've got the code and once we've got the right words and we've got them in the right order, then what we want to do is we just want to replay that back to the person. We want to say something along the lines of, so, if I've got this correct, when you bought your watch, it was how it looked, it was the quality, and it was the price. Now, what happens when I replay the code back to them, if I've got it correctly, is unconsciously, automatically, the person's going to tell me I've got the code right. And the way they do that is in every single case, they do what I like to call the bobblehead. And I like to call it the bobblehead because if you've ever seen those little bobbleheads, the head nods up and down. This is a fantastic way to literally check whether or not we've got the code. If we start off and we say, okay, let me see if I've got this correct. When you went to buy your watch, you liked how it looked. And if they don't start nodding right at that point, chances are look isn't the most important thing to them. Definitely, if by the time I've said the second thing they don't start nodding, I haven't got it in the right order. And I need to go back and redo it. This is really important. We want to test this code. We want to play it back to them, and we want to get that physical confirmation. We want to see them actually nodding their head up and down. It's really fun when I teach seminars to teach this part of the seminar, this physical code part. Because what will often happen is I'll say, look, people are going to tell you you've got the code right. And then what I'll say to somebody is, watch, I've got your code. Now, don't nod your head. And you'll start to replay the code to them, and they literally won't be able to nod their head. They'll try, and some people that are really good, you can see them like holding their head, physically struggling not to nod. But in an average situation where the person doesn't know they're going to nod and you're not telling them ahead of time, don't nod, they're always going to nod, every single time. That's what's important about this, is if you've got the code correct, and you repeat it back to them, and they don't nod their head, you don't have the code. If you have the code, they absolutely, positively, in every single case, are going to nod their head, and they're going to let you know, yep, that's it. Once I've got that, now I can use it in the sales process. And how you use that in the sales process is very elegant. And again, it has a lot of integrity, because at this point, what has happened is you've asked the person, what do they need to know? How are they going to make that buying decision? And what you've gotten from them is, unconsciously, how they think, what they need in order to actually make a good decision. So let's, again, go back to this really quick, simple example that I'm giving you of the watch here. And the person says, it's the look, it's the value, and it's the price. No, I think it was look, quality, price. Let's go with look, quality, price. So they say it's the look, it's the quality, and it's the price. Then, now again, my sales presentation is really simple. I'm going to go look through the case, and I'm going to find a watch that's going to look exactly like they described. Remember the beginning. It's a code word. I don't know what look means. But as I'm filling in my sheet here, I'm going to ask them, can you tell me more about what look means to you? And they're going to tell me, well, you know, it was gold, and it was slim, and it had a black face. So I'm going to know, by the time I filled in my entire sheet, exactly what look means. Same thing, when they're telling me quality, I'm going to be asking them, can you tell me more about what quality means? I mean, what does that actually mean to you? And they're going to tell me. And then again, when we get to price, I'm going to ask them, okay, what's important about price to you? Why is that important? And they're going to tell me. They're going to say, well, I've only got $10. Now I'm going to know. Okay? So now, it's really easy to sell them. I'm going to go look, and I'm going to pull up the gold watch with the black face that has a certain quality to it that is priced under $10. And I'm going to show it to them in that exact order. And if I show it to them in that exact order, that's literally their unconscious buying strategy. At that instant in time, they're going to go, okay, and they're going to be sold. Now, the beauty of presenting this information to them in their exact order is you'll never have an objection. Think about that for just a second. I always make that statement, you'll never have an objection. And the reason I say that is because, in my experience, an objection tells me I didn't get the code correct. An objection tells me I didn't put it in the right order, or I'm missing a piece of it. What happens when we're missing a piece, or we don't have it in the right order, is for some reason the person unconsciously doesn't feel right. And they feel like, you know, it's not a good decision. And they shouldn't make the decision. And their unconscious is like telling them, don't do it. And sometimes they don't even know why they don't want to make the decision. That's where I disagree with a lot of sales programs, where they start talking about, here's all these ways to handle objections. It's really a moot point, because almost in every single case that I can think of, when the person's giving you an objection, the objection is really just saying, look, I just don't feel uncomfortably comfortable at this point. There's something wrong with the sales process, or there's something wrong with this product, and so therefore, I don't want to buy it. An objection is just telling you, I don't want to buy. Now, if you're in there trying to solve objections, now you're in an adversarial relationship. The difference is, when we're using their buying strategy, we're getting the information from them. We know exactly what the order is that they want in order to make the correct decision. And if we present the information to them in that order, they can make the correct decision and they'll feel totally comfortable about it. When I say they're going to feel totally comfortable about it, what happens is they never have buyer's remorse. They don't then think later, ooh, maybe I should have, would have, could have, or, you know, oh, geez. What happens is they feel totally unconsciously congruent with the purchase.
This is the end of part 3. Please continue to part 4.